Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20 if everybody's been obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen, Missy. Amen, Brother Bud. Anybody else this morning? Folk, did you hear that? Someday, you got your parents and life's going good. They're looking out for all your problems and troubles, but someday you're going to need the Lord to help you. You better stay close to Him because you're going to need Him. Sure as the world one of these days. Well, I don't really know whether I want to pray and then read or pray and introduce this and then bring you up to the reading and then read. I think that's probably what I want to do. I want to read out of 1 Samuel 20. I want to read 24 verses and very familiar passage, but I tell you what I think I want to do. I want to pray first and then I'm going to start in chapter 17. And then I'm going to try to bring us up to the text and then read the text and see if the Lord will help us with that. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You this morning. And Lord, You know my inadequacy and my inability. Lord, You know I'll just make a mess this morning if You don't help me. If You don't just touch my mouth and give me direction and order my speech. Father, I ask You if You would to please touch me and let me preach with power and in the unction with Your anointing. Father, I ask You if You would to open hearts this morning and help us. And Father, just direct me now. If there's anything that would hinder any noises or movements or disturbances or just anything that the devil might use to steal the Word of God from Your people. Would You refrain it for a few minutes and just let us get focused on the message that You have for us. And Father, please speak and please help me to unload it in the right way. And I'll thank You for what You do. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, Father, please forgive me for it and make me a vessel of honor for just a few minutes. Lord, help and bless Your people. And I'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's read the text first. I want to start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And the heat is being turned up on David. He's down at Saul's place, if I could say it that way. And the heat's turned up. Saul's trying to kill David. And the Bible says in verse 1, "And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?'" So David's in a little bit of a state of confusion. And Jonathan says in verse 2 says, "And he said unto him, 'God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.' And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly ask leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say, thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy... Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answered thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come, and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will shew it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemy. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go, find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord has sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord is between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat. Now, for the sake of time, I want to skip over verses 25, and I want to go down to about verse number 34. So Jonathan arose from the table. What happens in verse 25 through 33, they go to dinner. Saul's very upset because David's not there, and even gets upset with Jonathan. And so verse 34 says, so Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the appointed time with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad run, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, "Go carry them to the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And basically, we've read most of the 20th chapter, but I want to go back to chapter number 17, and I kind of want to bring us up to date on what's going on. I think it's important. In chapter number 17, we see David is sent down from his father's house to check on his brothers, and you all know the story. He comes when Goliath is challenging the army of Israel, and he fights Goliath. To make a long story short, he kills Goliath, and he's raised to a position of honor. And when we look in chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible says after David killed Goliath and won the battle for Israel, the Bible says, "And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." And so we see what goes on in chapter 18. David stays with Saul. Anytime Saul found a soldier, found a man of valor, he took him in, the Bible teaches us. And so he takes David in. But then we come down to verse 3 and 4, and we see that Jonathan and David, or that David finds a friend, I want to say a special friend, that doesn't even touch it. He finds a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Jonathan. Jonathan loves David more than it says as his own soul. In verse number 4, Jonathan did what David did. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. One writer said this, he was doing what David did when he took off Saul's armor and said, "Hey, I don't need that. I'm going with God's armor." And that Jonathan, having seen what David did with God's armor, lines up and does the same thing. I don't know, but it's good for thought. But here's what I want you to see. David's left home and life is going good. Brother Steve, he's a hero. I might say it this way, he's a national hero. The king cares so much about him that he won't let him go back home but says, "Hey, you're going to live with me." I'm just trying to get you to see, here's this country boy, and all of a sudden he's raised to prominence. He's in the light, so to speak, if we could say it that way. And I guess he's thinking this, God's good to me. I mean, God's been good to me. And certainly he has. And so we see that. But I want you to notice this story's not true. And so Jonathan, he has his friend, the king. He's in favor with the king. But then I want you to notice what it says in verse number 7. David, I might say too, David prospers under Saul. In verse 5, David went wheresoever Saul sent him, behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And so he's the general. He's the chief of staff, if you want to say it that way. And I mean, it's not been too long. He's down there watching the sheep. Now he's chief of staff. He's in charge of the army. He's living with the king. He has a friend that'd give his life for it. I mean, life's going good. And we see in verse number 7, everybody's praising David. I mean, everything, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm just wondering what's going through little country boy David's mind. When all this is taking place, chapter 7 says this, as they return, or verse 6 says, they return from the slaughter of the Philistines, chapter 7 says, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now here comes David and Saul and the army, and all the women is extolling David as the soldier of all soldiers. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, I guess. All the people are looking up to David. He's in charge of the army and living in the palace. And just a short while back, he's watching sheep out on the pasture field. Nobody even took him seriously. I don't know, but I'm guessing David's feeling real good about himself. But I want you to notice, see, things changed. And I want you folks to understand this. There'll be good times in your life, but there's going to be some difficult times in your life. It's not always going to be easy. And really, it's not going to be anything you've done or anything you have done or acted out or carried out, I guess. But sometimes just struggles and problems come in life. And that's the way it is with David. He's not sinned at this point. He's not being chastised. He's not, as far as I'm concerned, he's not out of the will of the Lord. But I want you to notice what verse 8 says of chapter 18. And Saul was very wroth. It didn't just say Saul was wroth. It says Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And here's what he said. They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed but thousands. Hey, I'm the king, and I'm only getting credit for thousands, and David, this little nobody that I've taken care of, and I'm looking after him, hey, he's been given 10,000, and Saul's angry about it. Now really, if you want to get down to it, David's a type of the spiritual man. And you can say Saul's a type of the sinner if you'd like. A lot of folks do. But I want to think of Saul as a type of the carnal man. And anytime spiritual people get around carnal people, there'll always be conflict. Spiritual people will always anger carnal people. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because their lifestyle brings condemnation on the carnal. I don't know what it is. But spiritual people will always... Spirituality and carnality can't dwell together without conflict. That's just a little side truth for you there. But here's Saul, and he's wroth. He's displeased. And verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. In other words, he's got his eye on, if he steps out of line one little bit, Saul's going to... here's what I'm saying. Saul's looking for a reason he can take action against David. Because he's jealous. And so Saul eyed David from that time forward. And we look in verse 10 and 11, and we see Saul sets about to kill David. I mean, here's a fellow that killed Goliath, give Israel the victory, give the king the victory. The king won't let him go back home. David, no doubt, thinks, hey, he likes me. He's put me in charge of the army. He's put me in the parade, and they praise me, and he's my friend, and I love him. And now, Saul's trying to kill him. Saul's trying to kill him. He escapes twice, it says. In verse 11, and David, last part of verse 11, and David avoided out of his presence twice. Notice verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. And so we see that Saul, the tide is turned. And here's where I see David. Here's how the Holy Spirit showed to me. David's confused. We've read it in verse 20. He says to Jonathan, what have I done? What's going on, Jonathan? What have I done? Why is your daddy trying to kill me? He's confused. I think he's confused right here. I mean, not long he was promoted to be the chief of staff. It's not long that he won a victory for Saul, and now Saul is throwing a javelin at him, trying to take his life. What's going on? David's confused. I wonder if he's thinking this, maybe I ought to go on. Maybe I ought to run. Maybe, Lord, what should I do? Maybe he's thinking like that. Maybe he's saying, Lord, what's going on? Hey, I've not done anything, Lord. I was minding the sheep. You told me to, or Dad told me to come down to the battle. I obeyed my parents and went. I fought Goliath. You gave me the victory. You were with me. What's going on, Lord? I don't know what he was thinking. I'm suspecting he's saying, I ought to run. No, I ought to stay. Something's just not right with Saul. It's just the evil spirit. It's not Saul. It's just the evil spirit. No, I need to get out of here. He's going to kill me. I see a man that's wrestling with what to do. He knows he's anointed. Brother Allen, he knows Samuel's anointed him to be king. He knows God has a purpose for his life. And here he is at the palace, and no doubt he thought, well, I'll just work here with Saul, and God will move Saul out of the way one day, and I'll just take over. But it's not working that way. And I'm starting to think here he is. He's trying to decide what to do. Do I flee? Has it ever come to you like that? Do I leave this church? Do I go somewhere else? Do I surrender to the mission field? Do I not? Do I get involved? Do I put my heart in the work? Or do I just stay on the surface? Just stay on the outer edge? Do I surrender to what God has for me? Or do I live my life the way I want to? What do I do? What's the next step? That's where David's at. He don't know what to do. He don't know which direction to go in. No doubt God had a hand in him being at the palace, helped him kill Goliath. No doubt God moved on Saul to get him down there with him. But now Saul's trying to kill him. And the confusion, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. No doubt there's some confusion there. What do I do? What do I do? And so many times that's where we're at. You see life's problems, and young folks, many of you's not got there, but many of life's problems doesn't have a yes-no answer. It's not cut and dry. It's not black or white. We like to make it black and white because that simplifies our life, but many times these situations are not black and white. And we wrestle with what we ought to do and how we ought to handle things. And what's the right way to go? And I think that's where David's at here. All of a sudden, a fellow's been good to him. He's trying to kill him. And the Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely. In verse number 5, he behaved himself wisely. In verse number 14, he behaved himself wisely. But notice verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. Here's David behaving himself, doing right. And all that does is bring more fear from Saul and bring more of the wrath of Saul upon his life. That's what I'm trying to get you to see here. But then notice verse 17. Here's complicated. It just keeps getting complicated. Saul says this, I'm going to give you my daughter to marry. And David's saying, you tried to kill me. I'm telling you what I'm thinking. If I was David, you tried to kill me twice, and now you want me to be your son-in-law? Well, I guess Saul does love. I guess Saul does care for me. I guess he does have affection for me. I guess it will be okay. I guess maybe I ought to stick around here. But I want you to notice there was a motive of Saul's. Saul knowing David to be a poor man and could not pay a dowry or some money for a wife, said, just give me 100 Philistines. Just kill me 100 Philistines. And that'll settle the score. You know what Saul was hoping? Those of you that's read this text, he was hoping when David went to kill the Philistines, they'd kill him. And Saul wouldn't have to. And so, what looks like a deed of kindness is really a deed of death, if I can say it that way. And mine won't say that to you. There's a lot of times folks will be kind to you so they can use you or so they can do you harm, spiritually speaking. I could talk to you about the dinner that Ahab threw. Who was it that Ahab threw a dinner for? And really the whole purpose of feeding him was to get him to go to the army with him. Was it Jehoshaphat? I believe it was Jehoshaphat. He fed Jehoshaphat a dinner, treated him real nice. But you know why? He wanted him to make an unequal yoke with him and go fight the adversary. He was trying to take advantage of him. And if you be given the appetite, the proverb said, put a knife to your throat. If you're going to let the goodness of somebody lead you to evil, he said, just put a knife to your throat. And so here it is, it's happening again. Saul said, hey, I'm going to, and here's David, he wants me for a son-in-law. I don't guess you say, well, David's smart enough to figure it out. Maybe, but I don't think so. David's a kid. He takes the throne at 30 years old. He's well under 30 years old at this point. And so, we see in verse 20 that he does what Saul asked, and instead of getting the first daughter, he ends up with Michal. And so, here's the thing, it's going back and forth, and he doesn't know what to do. And can I tell you, God's at work all the time. God is doing a work in David's life, and he's in this confused state, and he's jumping around. Sometimes Saul's good to him, sometimes he's bad. Does he stay? Does he go? What does he do? That's what we're working up to. That's what we're working up to, and that's what happens in a lot of God's people's lives. Here comes decision time, and some way or another, you just put it off. You just don't make a decision. Maybe David should have fled as soon as Saul tried to kill him the first time. I don't know. But he didn't. Maybe the Lord was dealing with him. Maybe the first time ever God ever dealt with me about preaching, I should announce my call, but I didn't. Maybe the first time God ever dealt with you about what He wants you to do, you should have obeyed. But you didn't. Here's a man, it's confusing. He's got it really pretty good here. But now at the same time, from time to time, Saul's trying to kill him. What does he do? What's the answer? We look at this and we see in verse 28 and 29, Saul's still fearful. Verse 29, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Because Michal, his daughter, loved David. That made Saul even more afraid. We come over to verse 19, and we see that in verse 19, verse 1, Saul's getting more bold. He tells his servants that they ought to kill David. He makes it known. He vocalizes, hey, you need to kill David. We're still trying to get to chapter 20. I'm trying to get you to see, here's one of God's children. No doubt he's thought about leaving a whole lot. Maybe even God's dealt with it. I don't know. We don't know. That'd just be speculative preaching, but we don't know what's going on. But here's David, and he's wrestling around. We're going to see in verse 20, we're going to see he's struggling. Or chapter 20. And so Saul turns the heat up in verse 1. And Jonathan tells David, just go hide yourself in verses 2 and 3. Notice verse 10 of chapter 19. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Verse 11, now Saul, he's fled. Now Saul said, hey, I don't care whether he's here or not, I still want him dead. So in verse number 11, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house. And Michal lets him down through a window. And in verse 19 of chapter 19, and it was told Saul saying, David's in Naoth in Ramah, and Saul sent messengers to take David. No place of safety. Saul is possessed with killing David. And so David comes back. He knows Saul's down there where he's at. So he comes back to talk to Jonathan to see what's going on. And here's what he says in verse 20. And David fled from Naoth, and Ramah came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? He's confused. What is mine iniquity? What sin have I done? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? That's where we're at. And David knows he's flirting with death. He realizes now this thing's not getting any better, it's getting worse. And here's where we're coming to. Here's where we're coming to. We're coming to a crossroads. You see, before he didn't have to make a decision, he just stayed where he was. And time would pass, and the evil spirit would come again, Saul would attack him again, he'd get away and it'd pass, and Saul would give him his wife, and so he'd settle down again. But now, David's put the servants on him. Saul's put the servants after David, sent him down to his house to kill him. Now, David's fled from Saul, and Saul sent men after David. Hey, it's serious business now. And so he comes back to Jonathan and said, what have I done? There's just a step between me and death. What's going on? Hey, it's a serious matter at this point. Can I tell you, there is in all our lives, there comes crossroads, spiritual crossroads. There comes times that things that might not have been so important at one time that God's going to deal with us again and again and again on. There comes time we have to deal with it and decide what needs to be done. That's where David's at now. No more putting this off. No more playing around. No more coming back to the, I'm going to call it the palace. I don't know if Saul had a palace or not, but I'm just going to say, I'll say the king's place. No more coming back to the king's place now. No, this has to be dealt with. This has to be dealt with. I want to tell you, there are times, maybe not a lot, there are times in your life that issues have to be dealt with or there's consequences. That's sober, isn't it? David had put it off, what he needed to do, and he'd put it off. And he just let everything stay like it was. And he let everything stay like it was. Saul was good to him at times, promoted him to be chief of staff, gave him his daughter to wife, fed him food at the table, gave him a place to stay. But same time, there's times he tried to kill him. David keeps trying to work it out. He tries to behave himself wisely. Maybe if I'll just behave good enough, everything will settle down, be all right. But now, it's decision time. He's at the crossroads. And my, that's what I want to preach to you about for a little while. And I don't know, I've got enough preaching here, maybe preach for a while, but I want you to understand there's crossroads that come in your life. There's crossroads. Of the victorious Christian life, there's crossroads you have to face. I started thinking about some crossroads. I'll just give you a few. Who you marry. Who you decide to spend the rest of your life with. That's a crossroad decision. What you're going to do for a living. Which church you're going to go to and raise your children in. Can I tell you, that's a crossroads decision. It's crossroads. How you're going to discipline your children. how you're going to educate your children. Y'all, that seems very insignificant because you've got your finger on your children. I mean, all you have to do is bark and they have to march. You know that's right, when they're little. And all you think these decisions, it doesn't matter what that is. Can I tell you, those decisions are crossroad decisions. You know what a crossroad is? That's where you've got to decide which way you're going. You've got to make a decision, go one way or the other. You can't just stay there. If you're going on, you've got to decide which way you're going. That's where David's at. That's where David's at. He's at the crossroads. Maybe who you pal around with. And you know, here's the thing about it. It may seem insignificant to a lot of folks. It may even seem insignificant to you. I want you to know, so we go into verse 20. So David says, hey, what's going on, Jonathan? John said, hey, here's what Jonathan said. Hey, it's not a big deal. You just go down there and hide by the rock Ezel, if I'm pronouncing that right. Ezel, that word means departure. You go down there and hide by rock departure. And in 3 days, I'll give you an answer. I'm going to go to dinner with Dad, that's King Saul. And if he's upset because you're not there, I'll know he means to hurt you. And we'll do that for 3 days. And if he's upset, then I'll know. And what I'll do, I'll go down there. And if you're supposed to stay, I'll shoot the arrow short. I'll shoot an arrow and I'll tell that boy to go out there. And I'll shoot it short and you'll know you're supposed to come back. But if I shoot it long, then you'll know that it's supposed to go on. You're supposed to depart and go on. If I can say it that way. And so that was the plan. And to make a long story short, here's David camped out by a rock. Out in the middle of nowhere. And can I say it this way? Seemed like an insignificant place, Brother Allen. People come by and look at that rock. And we're out there in the middle of the field. And they probably said, just another rock. Just another rock out in the field. But can I tell you what it was to David? It was a crossroads in his life. He's either going back and face the consequences there, or he's going to run and flee the king, and there's some consequences there. He's at a crossroads. Maybe some of you are at a crossroads, and people looking where you're at, you say, that's insignificant. Where they're at in their life, it's insignificant. They have it made. They've got it. Hey, but can I tell you, you may be at the point of decision, of choices to be made that's going to affect your life for the rest of your life. It's serious. What David did, what David's going to decide is very serious. Does he go? Does he stay? I mean, that's the question. And I want to mention some things about this place David's at. You see, the decision he made was going to be based on the message from the one that loved him the most, Brother Steve. Whatever, David wasn't making this decision. Brother Al, David wasn't making. It wasn't David saying, flipping the coin, or David saying, hey, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what's easiest. No, what David was going to do was going to be based on what Jonathan, who loved him more than his own soul, it was going to be based on Jonathan's message. Hey, do you see the application there? Who loves us more than anybody else? The Lord does. You know what your decisions ought to be based on? What the Lord tells you. That's right. I'm not necessarily saying Jonathan is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, but nobody loved David any more than Jonathan did. And David said, whatever you say, Jonathan, I'm going with, because I know you care about me. I know you love me. I know you'll know more than I do. And whatever message you send, that's the decision I'm going to make. I want to tell you something. If you're at the decision's crossroads, you better get a message from the Lord. Did you hear me? You better let the Lord make your decision for you. That's right. Had David said, Jonathan, I'm not listening to you. I'm going back. I want to be where it's happening at. There'd have been some consequences. But here's what I'm saying to you. That place is an important place. I want you to understand, he made his decision. He made his decision based on the message he heard from Jonathan. And Jesus loves you more than Jonathan loved David. And these decisions we make that we think is just so insignificant, I want to tell you something, you better get a word from God. You better get a word from God. How to discipline your children. What standards and convictions you're going to raise your young folks by. I don't know, I'm thinking about young folk right now. It applies to old folks as well. I'm telling you, some of these things that we think is insignificant, we better wait till we hear from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he did. And by the way, he had to wait. He didn't just stay there about 15 minutes and get an answer. He's there 3 days waiting on an answer. He had to wait. This was a place of waiting. It was based on a message from the Lord. My, what's the Lord been saying to you? What's the Lord been saying to you? No, I'm serious. What's He dealing with you about? Is it sin in your life? Is it an area of service? Is it an area of surrender? Is it submission? I don't know. But the decision you better make, better be based on the message from Him. I was talking to a fellow one time and I said this to him. I said, if you can tell me without a doubt that God's told you to do what you're doing, I won't say another word. He looked at me and said, He's not told me not to do it. You know what he was really saying? I've not heard from God. I don't know. I'm just making a decision. God hadn't said do it. God hadn't said not do it. Can I tell you what you better do? You better just wait in them cases. Better be careful. You better wait and listen. You better listen. I'm telling you, David was at this crossroads. And we're going to look at the catastrophe of the wrong decision just a minute. But I want you to understand, you come to crossroads. You come to places that people look at and say, that's insignificant. But it's decision time in your life. And the decision you make could be catastrophic if you make the wrong one. You better get a word from that one that loves you the most. Oh my. Maybe the Lord's told you to quit playing around. Maybe He has. Maybe the Lord's told you to quit being a coward. Maybe the Lord's told you stop wasting time. Get serious about serving me. Maybe the Lord's told you to go. Like He's getting ready to tell David here in a little while. Depart and get out of here. You say you're trying to get rid of him. I ain't trying to get rid of anybody. I want more coming. I'm telling you, I'd rather you obey the Lord than anything else. Here's what he said. He may have said to you, go. He may have said, quit fighting me. I don't know what the Lord. He may be saying, you surrender, yield, submit. I don't know. What's God saying to you? Are you at that place? Are you at that crossroad? I have to believe somebody is. Surely God wouldn't have put this on me just to get up here and spin a wheel. Just to be like a car spinning in a month. Surely God's got a purpose in this message. Surely somebody's at or near a crossroads and needs a word from heaven this morning. What's God telling you to do? Oh my. If you don't know, maybe you ought to wait. Maybe no snap decisions. No guessing. Wait on a message from that one that loves you most. Then we say, once you get a message, you have a choice to make. Oh my, David had to choose whether I'm going to obey or disobey. If God's speaking to you this morning, man, it's decision time.
If you walk out of here and say no and do nothing, you said no. But can I say, delayed obedience is disobedience. What's God saying to you? Dear brother, dear sisters, He's saying, get serious. Get in. Put your heart in it. What's He saying to you? And what's your choice going to be? Oh my. You're going to have to. I can't choose for you. I can't choose for you. You young folks, mom and dad can't choose for you. Nick, your granny and papa can't choose for you. When God speaks to you, you have to decide. It's your decision. If Brother Bud, it's your decision. Ben, it's your decision. Blake, it's your decision. Little as you are, when God deals with you, you have to decide. You have to make the choice. Oh my. That's where David's at. He's at the crossroads. He's put this off a long, long time. He's thought maybe he should do this, maybe he should do that, maybe I'll stay, maybe I ought to go. Then it gets better and he feels like, well, I'm staying. Gets worse, I need to go. But now it's serious. Now it's no game playing now. Saul's turned the heat up. I mean, it's a serious matter. Can I say, he said there's a step between life and death. There may be a step between your life, between your spiritual life and your spiritual death. What you decide may your decision today could result in you dying in the wilderness or living and dying in Canaan. That's sober to me. Did you know what the children of Israel did? They missed it by one day. One day, Brother Miller, God said, go up. They said, no. Next morning, they said, we're going up. God said, you done missed it. You had your chance. Your opportunity came. You said no, and you missed it. You missed the will of God for your life. And it cost them death in the wilderness, and for the children, 40 years just wandering around like a bunch of vagabonds or something. Just spinning. Can I say it? Just going around in circles. What they're doing. One day. I don't know about you, that sobers me. I'm sure I've made some decisions. I made one decision. 10 minutes later, my opportunity was gone. It's down at the post office, and I had a P.O. box at that time, and I was fell outside sweeping up. The Lord told me to speak to Him. And I was about half carnal that morning. And I just got in my car and started to drive away. And I got up there and I said, well, I'm going to do it. I turn around, come back, Brother Allen. Guess what? Gone. Haven't seen Him since. Don't even go. Don't even have a P.O. box now. Don't even have an opportunity to say, I missed God by 10 minutes. I missed God by 10 minutes. I don't know about you, but that's sober to me. God's dealing with you. Don't put off the decision He's moving on you, on your life about. Here's where He's at. He has to make a choice. My, we see the catastrophe of the wrong decision. Let me just go on. I need to quit, but I'm not going to. I'm feeling sober this morning. If he stays, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if he stays? Can I tell you? Saul's going to kill him. His life's going to be gone. Can I tell you what's going to happen if he stays? He's never going to become king of Israel. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Israel's never going to experience all them great victories and be that world power that they were. Under David. My, there's a lot riding on this decision. Brother Allen, we don't even know. We don't even know how important some of the decisions we make are. We don't even realize. We take it so lightly. Think about, had David stayed and Saul killed him, the whole history of Israel would have been rewritten. My.
I can't make you realize the importance of those decisions, but you better go with God. You better, if you've got a word from God, you better say, "Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." My, David lingered here among the enemy. He's going to be killed. Some of you may be on dangerous grounds. You may be right on the verge of being a spiritual casualty. You throw off on the preacher. He's trying to boss me. He's trying to twist me. He's trying to make me. You throw off on other things, maybe other people that's in your life. Oh, can I say to you, you may be right on the grounds, right near a spiritual ground. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing that victorious Christian life that you can have in the Lord. I'm talking about that abundant life that many people don't have. That joy that passes all joy. That's what I'm talking about. You may be about to die out to that. Maybe you may be just about to make a decision going to cause you to die in the wilderness. That's what was going to happen to David. Had he said, "No, Johnson, I'm staying." But I want you to know too, there was a cost to obedience. I just want to tell you something. Obedience isn't cheap. It's not cheap to obey the Lord. God calls you to the mission field. It's costly to the flesh. It's costly. Here's David. He's got it all in one way. If he could just solve the Saul problem, he has it all. He has a nice place to live. He has a high paying job. Brother Adam, chief of staff, head of the army. He has prestige. He has popularity. David's killed 10,000. Oh, he's slain his 10,000. If you study that, the people's looking up to David. He's winning favor. Oh my. I mean, things are going good, and if he flees, what are they going to do? Where's he going? Can't you hear David? Where am I going? If I go home, he'll come down there and kill my whole family. I can't go home. Who's going to help me? Jonathan, my best friend's back here at the palace. Where am I going to go? And my goodness, how am I going to escape a king that's got an entire army hunting for my life? You see, there was a cause to either decision. To stay meant death. To flee meant uncertainty and the unknown. But he's at the cross, so he's got to make a call. What does he do? He listens to that one that loves him most. To that one who's close to the king. That's who he listens to. What's God saying to you? Do you have hearing ears? Do you have hearing ears? Is God trying to talk to you and you can't even hear him? You're trying to turn him off? Trying to flood your life with so much that you can't even hear God when he's speaking to you? Or do you hear him loud and clear? And you're scared. You fear the unknown. You don't know where to go. You don't know who will help you. You don't know who will protect you. You don't know who will give you food to eat and something to drink when you need it. You don't know how you're going to make it. But can I tell you, the message was still to depart. To depart. Go on. Go farther. Don't get in your little comfort zone. Stay there, David. Go on. Go on. That's where you'll be safest. Oh, my. But it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him. It's cost him the limelight. It's cost him. By the way, he had to leave his wife. He left his wife. The Lord told him to depart. He left his wife. I think the Lord was in it. Anyway, to depart. Leave his wife. Left the best friend he ever had. Leave the palace. Leave the limelight. Leave his good job. Oh, leave my good job. That's what he did. My, there's a cost to going with God. That's all I'm saying. And no doubt David was tore out of his frame. No doubt here's this young fella, nobody in his life to help him. Just the Lord. And you know what he does? He obeys. Lord, if you said it, I'm going to do it. And Jonathan, the one that loved him the most, I think I'm picturing as the Lord Jesus Christ said, depart. And you know what they did? They embraced. And Jonathan went back to the palace. And David headed over the hill somewhere, Brother Steve. I don't know what direction he went, but he just headed out in the woods there somewhere. The way I see it anyway. I don't know about you, but I think the price of disobedience is far greater than the price of obedience. And here's what I'd say to your lives. Just obey the Lord. It may seem like a big price, but the price of disobedience is so much greater. So much greater. And I really believe maybe somebody's at the crossroads, maybe more than one, that all of us are in a sense. But disobedience would have stopped everything. It cost him everything. Obedience was costly, but disobedience was much more costly. Then I want to say this. Obedience was the only path to a successful life for David. Had he chose to disobey, he'd have died defeated spiritually and whipped. And by all this we read about him, we'd never get to read about. But I say to you, it cost him to obey, but it was the pathway to spiritual success. And I want to say this to you, obedience is hard. It is a hard thing. It's fearful. It's frightful. It's costly. The unknown, it'll take you in uncharted territory. But obedience is the only path to spiritual success with the Lord. Would you obey? Here's a little principle. I'll give you a Christian principle and I'll be through. We saw the crossroads. We saw the choice. We saw the confusion. We saw a catastrophe of going the wrong way. The cost of going the right way. But here's your Christian principle to live by. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. I know I've preached long this morning. I know that. But please, please listen to me. If God's speaking to you, would you just obey? Just obey. You say, I'm scared to. Just obey. God will help you. He helped David. And he made a great king out of him. And he died in his old age. And I know he's scared to death. I'm as convinced as I'm standing here, he was very frightful heading out that morning, that evening, whatever it was. I'm sure he was troubled in his heart, not knowing what way to go, which way to turn, who to look to. But God was faithful and put him on the throne down the road. God's speaking to you this morning. I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart this message from God this morning to somebody. Would you be obedient? Maybe at the crossroads, I don't know. I remember the crossroads in my life. Several of them, I guess. One that stands out the most when God's dealing with me about preaching. I just come to that decision time and time again, just pushed it aside. There came a time I couldn't put it aside no more. I had to do business about it. And I don't know if it's that. I don't know. Maybe it's consecration, getting serious. I don't know. God's dealing with you. Do business this morning. Brother Allen, Sister King's going to come. If you just bow your heads now, it's just you and God. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel troubled. I just feel troubled for somebody. please go with God. Please, I beg you, if I could just plead with you, go with God. And you'll never be sorry. Brother Allen, you sing to us.